Welcome to Church Drunk, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libations. As usual, there's two rules that you guys need to keep in mind right from the get-go. Number one, you have to let us swear.
You've been warned.
It's just how we operate. And number two, you have to let us blaspheme. It's just built into the fabric of our beings.
There's really no stopping us. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So if you're cool with those two rules, then welcome. Continue on. We're Catholic. You don't have to be. We're glad you're here. And happy Advent. We're officially
here.
Into it.
The first week.
Yeah, the first week of Advent.
A nice, short, reasonably length season.
Catholic New Year.
Yes. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Cheers.
So,
that brings us
I'm Guess here with my co-host Dizzy.
Hey.
And Diz, what you drinking?
I am drinking a lovely Wintertide ale from Sierra Nevada. It's like a seasonal one, and I chose this beautiful label because it's blue and white.
Blue and white.
So, extra holy on a Marian feast day,
it's
if
our
I do say
favorite,
so myself.
Favorite colors as we record on this, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception.
Which is like the third in our series of Marian feasts that we don't really buy.
There's just so much Marian bullshit to sift through.
Yeah, and you know, I'm happy to drink her colors.
Right, yes.
I don't think that's probably quite enough to keep your Catholic card, but it's certainly an entry point.
Well, and we salute Mary in our own way.
I certainly do.
We appreciate
Mary, and I appreciate her.
Yeah.
And I think we would all like her more if there were less, like, ridiculous trappings on her of the feastings.
Yes. I would say just let Mary be Mary, like, the mother of Jesus, the mother of the Savior of the world. Like, that's a big enough job by itself. We don't have to necessarily be like,
nitty-gritty about her conception.
Yeah, she was conceived without sin and flew to heaven on a cloud and did all. It's like, let's just let Mary be Mary.
Right. I would agree with that. And like this feast day is a perfect example of how we like take fine things and make them overly vexed. And it's like, you know, the readings from today are nice. Like the angel Gabriel does the annunciation about Jesus's conception on the day that we are supposed to magically pretend we know anything at all about Mary's conception. Like, guys, just leave it how it was. It's fine.
Also, it does give you a little bit of insight into like the sort of weird Catholic obsession with conception.
And virginity.
Let's think about when Mary was conceived.
Right, she had to be perfect, and we're going to tie it back to Eve because there's nothing we like full circle.
Right, exactly.
And like, sure, you can put yourself in that headspace, but whenever I like try to explain this to somebody who's maybe not already Catholic, you know, you just feel a little stupid, like, hey, so pretend like we know, because we're going to celebrate this and say that it's a true teaching. And I'm like, but it is a true teaching because,
it
like,
is.
Tradition and scripture.
Right.
I don't know.
It's just, you know what? Like, Mary was and continues to be awesome in Mary's own way. And I think some people feel a need to dig deeper than that and try and read more into it and find more reasons to honor Mary. But really, just the work that she did and what we know about her as mother of Jesus and one of the first disciples of the church, like the one of the founders kind of those early communities. And that's good enough. Like,
and
we enjoy that.
Beyond good enough.
Yeah.
And like her scriptural examples are plenty. Like you said, her yes. Like we have the first evidence of consent. Like Mary says, yes, we need to.
Right.
That's enough. Be happy with that.
So on this December 8th, we honor the Feast of, let's just go Mary, everybody's
Mary.
Favorite Jewish mother.
You know what? That is a great way to back up the crazy of the Marian feast days. Yeah. Just celebrate Mary. And here's your church drunk advice. If it all gets too complicated, just pour something with a blue and or white label.
Yes, exactly.
And drink it. And that's how you do it.
Exactly. So, right. Cheers to Mary.
Hey, Mary.
And,
You didn't quite plan that sip out, did you guys?
No, sometimes you cheers and keep talking, but it's bad form. So I think we both did the right thing.
Yeah.
Now, in addition to this being a Marian day and being Advent and the first week of Advent, which we'll be talking about mostly, we are also joined by some lovely additions.
Yeah, you heard a little tinkle
to the
behind
Church
me.
Drunk recording studio. You all may remember Haggard, our friend from our demonology episode.
Yeah.
He decided to send us as like a thank you for letting us, letting him be on our podcast.
To always remember him, because I don't think he's ever coming back to the podcast.
These creepy little like Elf on the Shelf if the elf was actually like a drunken demon.
Yeah, it's like got boozy eyes and horrible facial expression. But he did soften the blow because it jingles, and we do like shiny jingly things.
It's true, yeah.
And it's holding and cradling a lovely little bottle of rather good tequila.
Yeah.
Some Casa Dore. So
cheers
to Hagrid. We don't hate it. Cheers, Hagrid. And we got our little festive here because, you know, Advent, people are like, don't make it Christmas yet. Christmas is its own season, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but you're preparing, so it's not inappropriate to start gently bringing out some Christmas decorations like...
like a Hagrid elf on the shelf. Creepy-ass
elf on the shelves.
Like a what should be festive, except covered in burlap and soaked in tequila and put on the shelf.
Yeah.
Much like Hagrid spends many of his days.
You know, it really shows a lot about him.
Yeah.
You're represented here. So anyway, we got some little visitors if you hear him jingling. That's why. Merry fucking Advent.
The elves on the shelves are going up around the country.
Yep.
Christmas time is here. And it's, for those of us of the Catholic persuasion, the season of Advent. So... we know that this is kind of one of our favorite times of year. We talked a little about that in the last one.
Yeah.
And there's a whole sequence of themes that you go through.
Yes. And this is not, like, established doctrine. Like, there are conflicting sources about which week is which theme.
Yeah.
But for the last decade or more, we have accepted the order which for each week, which is hope, peace, joy. And then love.
Hope, peace, joy, love.
Yeah. And
joy, the only one that I ever remember is joy because that's the pink candle.
And I always hesitate because I want peace and love to be flipped.
Right.
But I know that they're not, so I have to like think about it. But
and I feel like faith should be in there somewhere because you go hope, joy, love. But you know, like faith should be in that mix. But then there's only 4 weeks.
You should always have faith.
I know. It's true.
You know, if you're doing the Advent wreath, those are the candles for each of those weeks. And then, like, the really holy people put, like, a white one in the middle for, like, Jesus. Like, lit on Christmas, candle.
The Jesus candle.
So that's your faith candle.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, I did think it was kind of silly a few years ago when the Pope declared a year of faith. And I'm like, shouldn't they all be years of faith?
Well, now it's, like, a year of the Eucharist, something, like, once again.
Right.
Pretty constant.
Not something that we always do. But, you know, it calls us back to mind, I suppose. Yeah. Whatever.
I mean, at least it's positive things. Here's my hope.
So hope is the first theme.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one that I think this is probably, you know, it's a tone setter for Advent. It's one of my favorite themes that comes with Advent and Christmas is that idea of hope and putting the big picture of salvation history into context where, like, for all of history, we were awaiting the arrival of this one thing that changed it all from, like, darkness into light.
And this one impossible thing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's part of the whole Christian story that I actually really like, and we've talked about this in the past, but... sorry, I just touched the Hagrid elf. it's one of the things we've talked about in the past that I really like, this idea that there is impossible hope, or, like, something, like, impossibly good might happen to juxtapose the brokenness or the cruelty, you know, that we see in our world.
Yeah.
I mean, I really need that hope because otherwise I need more beer.
Yeah.
And to just be done.
And I've always kind of thought, you know, like when you think about what priorities you have in life, there's only so much that you can do to like control, you know, emotions or virtues or things like that, you know, but like hope is at the top of my list in terms of things that I really want to hold on to.
Yeah.
Like the belief that there is a possibility for things to be better than they are now.
Yeah.
Because I don't know where I'm going to wind up, right? Like, if you lose your job, your prosperity, if you lose people that are close to you, if you lose your family, I mean, if you
and
find
yourself...
And
some of those things are going to happen to you.
Yeah. And if you find yourself in that Book of Job situation where it's like, there is nothing left except anger at God and hope, then you'll be okay, right? Like, those two things can still get you through a lot. But as soon as you subtract hope from that equation, you're in trouble.
It's just despair.
Yeah.
And we know that's, you know, where we want to be, so.
So it's always been a good one in my mind. It's been one that I, you know, that I try and hold on to. And I try and remind myself, like, during difficult times that, like, hope is super important. And that faith, our faith, is all about hope. Like, it's about resurrection. It's about the good stuff having the final say, even in the midst of the bad stuff. And they're always going to be intertwined, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's just kind of, it's built into the fabric of my beliefs.
Yeah.
And yet also, it can just be, like, super cheesy.
Yeah, you know, it's like, there's, like, the two sides of us, right? Like, on one hand, I'm like, this is the whole message of Christianity is hope of something good after something bad, of life after. Like, that is the whole point.
Yes.
Like, that's why it's all here. From, like, a whole of salvation history. That's the whole point.
If you don't have that, you're in trouble. In
life after death.
Right.
Like, that's it. And yet, I'm not an optimist.
No.
I'm a realist. And so I need that hope, because otherwise I would not care about despair and drinking.
Right. Yeah.
And like you said, we need to keep on to that if we're going to keep going. But then people say hopeful things to you and you're like, shut the fuck up. I am obviously in a horrible situation right now. I don't want to hear, oh, is the glass half full? Is it half empty? It's all about how you look at it. I'm like, no.
It's completely empty.
It is awful. What's in my glass is actually urine. Like, what do you mean? I mean, it doesn't matter if it's half full or half empty, you know? So that's the ragey side. So today we're trying to bring it back to be like, okay, we believe in the virtue of hope and the faithful message of it. And yet, dear listeners, we know that you too may be having something other than a delicious beer in your cup.
Yes.
And when people or the internet or anything, you know.
Presidents.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. And she starts to
Haggard elf. Come back. Yeah, you know, it's not always.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't always seem deep. It just seems, like you said, cheesy.
And for this year, it does feel like we're not living in particularly hopeful times, like, at the moment. But you sent me a great insight earlier this week about the difference between being hopeful and being optimistic, right? Like, even when you can't be optimistic, you can still be hopeful. And that's, I think, what we need to try and connect with right now.
And, you know, I had heard that line from, I'm sorry not to know his name right now.
I know,
he was from a podcast, or I think it was a TED Radio guy. He's a Jewish guy. And he's saying, like, I'm a Jew.
Right.
So I'm not an optimist. Like, he was like, it made me kind of laugh. Like, but I have hope. And I was like, that is so Advent. And that is so us, I feel, as well. Because, you know, I'm not optimistic. I don't necessarily assume that things are going to go well or even as they should.
Right.
But that I have to keep, like you said before, that kernel of hope that I could be surprised by it. I will always leave room for a wonderful surprise.
Yeah.
Because I've seen that as well as the shit. You know, we've seen good stuff.
And sometimes it's little stuff, too, that surprises you. You know, like you're, it's happened to me where it's just like I'm having like life catastrophes. Not like a small thing like, oh, you know, I woke up and my hair didn't want to cooperate this morning. Like, life catastrophes.
Yes, had a bad
and
hair day.
Walking down the street and something very small and very insignificant, like the way the light is shining on a leaf or something like that, surprises me in terms of like how much it strikes me. And that is, I think, that moment of surprise is very much at the root of hope.
Yeah, and I think that's holy, you know, and that actually, I love that you said that, because it's, that is a spiritual practice, like training yourself to keep that little inch of room for hopes that you would notice the light or something beautiful or wouldn't miss whatever's happening in front of you because you're so deep down in the despairing mode.
Well, it's, and this is something else that we kind of have talked about a little bit before, is like, it's about keeping the door open, you know, it's about just opening up that little crack in your life to say, I won't let it just be like shit for 360 degrees.
Right.
359 degrees of shit will still have one little sliver where there might be something else.
Yeah, I allow for the possibility.
Yeah.
And that's important. That's a mental, you know, exercise.
Yeah.
So, and I don't mean to like use the word despair, like make light of anybody's like, you know, actually like suffering from like clinical depression. Like we acknowledge all that stuff.
Right.
We're just talking about sort of the garden variety of,
yeah,
of shit just, or regular life events. That
and
have
how
the regular,
we respond to, you know, the everyday stuff. Yeah.
So. All right. So on that note, we couldn't resist noticing that there's a lot of
just really
stupid,
awful,
hopeful, but terrible, not.
Yeah. Terrible. Like false hopeful. Like I get false just hopeful is not the right
trite
term, because like false hope is something very different, but just shitty hopeful. Just not really.
Not sincerely
good.
Hopeful.
It's not sincere. They're insincere. That's a good way
just
of describing
pat
it.
Pat lines, you know?
Yeah. Like there's, there is the hope that is like, wow, at the moment in my life where I really need just a small sliver of something good, I will try to keep that door open.
Mm-hmm,
and then there's the hope that says, well, Everything happens for a reason, so I know that my chihuahua just died, but that's part of the plan for... And it's just like, but you can't just recite those things as part of a schmaltzy life and expect it to all turn up roses. Like, I feel like at some point, you're going to just throw your beer glass against the wall and be like, fuck this, fuck this! Like
have a meltdown because people are saying stupid things to you.
Yes.
And I... You know, it's not particularly just about hope, but that line that you just said, like, everything happens for a reason. Like, nobody should ever say that.
No. Like, we need to train that out of ourselves.
It's like a bad, like, road to go down. Like, nothing good, like, branches off of that avenue.
Well, it calls to mind.
Sometimes the world is just shitty.
And if you follow that down, like, sort of the logic thread, you end up with a God who's kind of this puppet master who's pulling the strings and saying, well, I'm going to do this really awful thing to you, but it's okay because there's a reason for it. And that I think you and I are in agreement. I don't believe in that God.
Nope.
That's not the way that God works.
Right, and that's what I mean. Like, going down that road, just everything that splinters off it.
Caveat, like, not that anybody can know how God works, right? Like, just in starting the conversation and having it right now, we are
wrong. I'm sorry.
We're wrong. But at the same time... Right. I feel like we're less wrong than those assholes that say that everything happens for a reason and expect that to be some sort of, like, magic eraser.
Like, oh, okay, now let me put aside my great suffering because there's a reason that I don't know inflicted by an asshole of a deity. Like, of course not. Like, every life has suffering, and that's a separate thing from, like, God's will or God's plan.
Yes.
Like, I just, we're not signing that line.
And right. Wholeheartedly agree. And so you end up with this like, you know, hope is built into who we are as people of faith. And yet, I can totally understand, like, the atheists that are like, oh my God, would those people just shut the fuck up? Because, like, it's so annoying to just try and whitewash all of the world's pain and suffering. And what you end up with is just really a bunch of crappy quotes about hope.
Yeah.
And that is where our next little segment is going to take us.
So it's not quite a game today, but we just wanted to share some shitty hope quotes.
Yeah. It's as an homage to the classic 1998 film, Hope Floats, featuring Sandra Bullock and Harry Connick Jr. I think it's really cute. His only acting role ever.
You guys, it's so cute. Go watch it. It's on Netflix.
Don't watch it. Don't subject
yourself
to that.
Just look at the movie poster.
Yeah, if you Google image, Hope Floats.
Yeah.
But we are going to do a couple quick rounds of hope quotes.
Yes.
Which is basically just us looking up on various internet databases for quotes the word hope and seeing what sort of goodness or badness will rise to the surface. So
special feature, almost everything is like misattributed.
Right. Oh yeah, no. These websites, don't use them on academic papers, people.
Or at all, really.
Or at all, yeah. Like, don't print them out and put them on your wall. I don't know. Yeah. Like, right, like,
just
find
it
in a real
book. Be a decent person.
Go read a book. And then you'll know where the quote comes
from. And actually, I have a nice one that everybody knows, but it's a bookish one.
So for example, we'll end with that. If you go to brainyquote.com and you plug in the word hope in the search bar on their website, the first one that pops up says, "Optimism is the faith that leads to achievement. Nothing can be done without hope and confidence." Which I would say is probably like a 50-50. Like, I'm like, okay, like, I get it. And yet at the same time, it's a little bit rosy. But then you realize that that's attributed to Helen Keller. So I really can't tell Helen Keller to fuck off that much.
Although it's probably not actually Helen Keller who wrote that.
Right, yeah.
Like, I also don't believe that. You know, and also I'd point back, like, lots of things happen without hope because things just happen.
Right.
Once again, erroneous. Okay.
Right. So that's just the top one, right?
It's got a lot of nice words in it. Achievement and, you know, things that you'd want to look for.
So that's where we're at right now, is we're starting to go down this road and determine whether this is... hope floats or hope sinks.
Hope sinks.
Sinkers and floaters, hope style.
Oh, God, how do we... I'm not even talking about it. Nope.
All right, so...
This is not a toilet bowl exercise.
What do you got?
Another one that I just didn't understand, so maybe you can help me understand this. Okay. Hope is a good breakfast, but a bad supper.
Oh.
Does that mean, like, hope never comes out good?
Like, start each day with hope?
It's a good, like, something good to start with, but bad to end with. But I'm like, I need it in the ending.
It's not going well.
So
I guess maybe the idea is that if you're going to bed and needing to hold on to hope, that means you've had a bad day.
So you had a bad day.
But, like, I have bad days. I need to be like...
That's when I need the hope. Yeah. Right. If everything's fine.
Dear God.
If the breakfast is good, I'm
It's a good prayer. Like, dear God, thanks for today. Please make tomorrow better.
Yeah. Oh, every day. Better and better. Yeah. Okay. All right. Think totally erroneous.
Right. There. Yeah.
Okay. So that's a sinker.
A sinker, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've got another sinker, in my opinion. I don't know. Maybe you'll disagree.
Uh-oh.
Stay positive and happy. Work hard and don't give up hope. Be open to criticism and keep learning. Surround yourself with happy, warm, and genuine people.
I guess from your tone, I think you know right where I like left off agreeing with this lovely quote. Because at first I'm like, yeah, like I don't object to any of these. I'm like, okay, surround yourself with happy people. What are you, like, you're out? Right. Like,
yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, you're not allowed in my hopeful club.
You know, one year Haggard and I were like, let's not like talk about anything bad to each other like during a season.
No.
And we're like, actually, we really need to do that.
Right, yeah.
Because otherwise you hold it up and you're just, you're not a happy person. Right. Nobody will surround themselves with you.
Surround yourself with people that are more negative than you are. Therefore, you look like a fucking ray of sunshine by comparison.
Look at all this life advice you are pouring forth with today.
So, Tina Desai, whoever you are, your hope quote is a sinker, not a floater.
We haven't had a floater yet. I have a floater to end with.
Oh, so we had a semi-floater at the very beginning with Helen Keller.
Here's one that's... an acronym.
Okay.
So you might know where this is going.
It's gonna be great.
H, hold. O, on. P, pain. E, end. Hold on. Pain ends. That's what hope stands for.
Hold on.
So whenever you see hope, you just remember, hold on. Pain ends. Well, I mean, what do you think? You like that? Is that a floater? A sinker?
I can't get past hold on, which would be hold on.
Oh my gosh.
Hold on more day.
I mean, that might cheer you up.
But if you make an acronym out of hold on, you just get ho.
Ho on! Well, you know, that's kind of a floater. I can go with ho on. I guess.
I think I've got a floater. Okay. Desmond Tutu, usually a good one. Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. Like, there's Advent in a nutshell, right?
And I love that.
Yeah.
And I love that image.
Keep it simple with your hope quotes.
As much as we, maybe take a note here. That's, like, the advice is that, you know, it can be a cheesy image. Yeah. Or, like, not cheesy, but, like, one that we always look to. Like, of course, like, a single candle, you know, cannot be, like, the darkness can't overcome it. Like, that's nice. We can see that.
Yeah. So, Desmond Tutu, or random guy who lives in your mom's basement. Thank you for adding that to Brainy Quote.
Much like Helen Keller, I don't have any beef with Desmond Tutu. So,
another
one that might be a floater.
Okay.
But it's kind of got like a little edge to it. So, where there is no vision, there is no hope. Attributed to George Washington Carver.
Right. I think I've seen that one before.
Okay.
I don't know if it was attributed to the same person or not.
Who knows? But I like that one because it has like the rationality to it. Like, you know, you can have hope, but you best have some plan, have some vision. Like, where do you want this to be going?
Right, right.
And I think that is real for me. Like, it helps to have a plan, to have a vision.
For sure. Yeah. So. I think those two go hand in hand. Okay. Hope and vision. I buy that.
Okay.
How about this one from Samuel Smiles?
Oh, dear.
We already know that that's not right, right? Like, there's no way that Samuel Smiles is a real person who just
like,
drops
in the history of, like, surnames, like, where does Smiles come from? Like, maybe they were the happy people that you're supposed to surround yourself with. The Smile family.
Yeah, right, yeah. Okay. Hope is like the sun, which, as we journey toward it, casts the shadow of our burden behind us. And also, like, vaporizes us due to intense heat. Like, that's
Icarus, but...
Okay. I feel like it's a stretch. Like, you're reaching a bit far to be like, well, journey towards the sun because it's, like, hope.
Yeah, careful.
Right.
Don't go too close to the light.
Yeah.
But doesn't your shadow, like, move also? Like, sometimes your shadow is not behind you.
I just feel like that one's nonsense, Samuel Smiles.
And also, you have burdens. Like, hope doesn't make those go away.
Yeah. True that.
Okay, I have just a stupid one. Okay, I won't do that one. I'm doing it. Well, it's just where flowers bloom, so does hope. Like, what does that even mean? Like, that's like a poster.
Yeah, no.
In like.
Yeah, that's like.
I don't even know where.
Right next Who's to the cat hanging onto the telephone wire that's like, hang in there.
Yeah, where hope blooms, so do flowers. Like, go plant some flowers. Like, or like, that represents like good things that come. I don't know. We might be. Gone too far in this.
Yeah. I've got one. Alfred Lord Tennyson, again.
Oh, I love Tennyson. Okay.
Disputable, but I feel like a lot of times authors on these quote websites are a little bit better.
True.
Yeah. Hope smiles from the threshold of the year to come, whispering it will be happier. Now...
That is my hope.
It's a lovely, like, poetic saying, mm-hmm. yeah. And that is hope. Like, it whispers it will be happier but somebody may be shouting like, psych, it's going to be awful. And I or, feel a little bit like that right now, but.
You know, it's hard to hear that this year because I feel like the end of last year with like things that were happening. I was like, you know what? Maybe it's not going to be as bad as we think.
Right. And yet.
And then it really was.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
I know. It was really bad. Well, I have the ultimate sinker.
Okay.
And then maybe we can finish.
And then
on
I can
floater.
Do my with
yeah.
my floater.
Yeah.
All right.
So this one attributed to somebody named Robert H. Schuller. Again, we did zero research except going to brainyquote.com for this. So maybe he's like somebody really famous, but I don't know.
I've been reading off of Google Images.
Famous for awful right now. Okay. Because his quote is, "Let your hopes, not your hurts, shape your future." Yeah.
Like,
go fuck yourself.
And also, that means that you've learned from nothing.
Right.
Like, what's the value then of your sufferings?
Right. No.
Like, of your hurts.
Our hurts, like, tell someone that's whose mom me. Just died, don't let your hurts shape your future. Right?
It's like he never heard the one, the strongest steel goes through the hottest furnace. I mean, but really.
Seriously.
Like, I object less to that than to
right.
this one.
No, like,
this hope one.
Let your hopes, not your hurts, shape your future. Is there not a possibility that the two can coexist? Is there not any value in just, like, plumbing the depths of, like, how awful something is that has happened to you so that you can be stronger on the other side or whatever? Or just admitting that some stuff is really terrible
and
it's
does,
going to affect you for a long time.
And I can agree with him to the point, like, how you decide to integrate that effect into your future is important. Like, you don't want to stay in the, like, angry phase of whatever hurts you've gone through. But to pretend like they didn't happen or, like, just to focus on the rosy, like, hope we have for tomorrow.
Right.
I mean, that seems awfully disrespectful of all the shit people go through.
Like, somebody kicks you in the nuts, you're not going to be like, oh, I really hope that stops hurting soon. That's a great day.
I'm
like,
going to not cover my nuts anymore because I want to live in hope. Like,
no, it's terrible. It's a terrible advice. Let your hopes and your hurts shape your future, Robert Schuller.
As they naturally do.
Yeah.
I mean, come on now. So, one that I like, and I think most people have at least heard the first line, but it's the Emily Dickinson, "Hope is the thing with feathers." Have you heard this poem?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful poem, and it's short, and I think only it's the
lovely.
First line, and maybe you object to hope being a feathered, anthropomorphized thing. Not anthropomorphized, birds are ovipomorphized?
Oh.
Anyway.
Ornithopomorphized.
Okay. Anyway, sorry, Emily Dickinson. But hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. And I think that's beautiful. That's the part that's always in the quotes.
Yeah.
But the last stanza is, "I've heard it in the chillest land and on the strangest sea, and yet never in extremity it asked a crumb of me." And I think that is the nice part where it's not really asking anything of you, but to, like, look your eyes up a little higher.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I would leave you with that, which I consider a floater.
I would call that a floater. It's poetry, I think, is a good way to go. Like, you have to craft it well. You can't just be like, hope is, like, super easy as long as nothing bad happens to you. Like, that, you got to kind of dig into it a little bit more.
Right, but it seemed like even Advent-y to me, like, coming back to this thing, it asks nothing of you.
Right.
Right? To have hope does not actually cost you anything.
Right.
And that's kind of the gift, once again, of Jesus in this season, is it's a freely given offering.
It's that reminder that when we don't have it in us to reach out to God, God will reach out to us.
Yeah.
We just have to be ready for that in some way,
shape,
or form.
Leave your 1 degree of your 360, like you said,
exactly.
available.
Exactly.
All right. So we have hope.
We do have hope. I hope that this creepy elf will stop looking at me.
Probably not going to happen. And we were also mandated that we have to bring them out every year.
I know.
So we're stuck with these guys.
I kind of feel like I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and it's going to be right next to the bed, even though I left it, like, in a different room.
He told us after 5 years of him being dead, it's going to talk to us.
Oh,
I'm afraid.
Haggard. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Well, it's time to go steal our elves' tequila and get down to business.
Right. We didn't mention, but this is actually in addition to the Immaculate Conception, also the anniversary of the Prohibition repeal.
Yes. Yes.
That's another good reason to drink.
It is.
Church Drunk listeners, even if you hear this days later, you can still celebrate.
Yes.
Because Prohibition is still over.
Prohibition. So this is actually, Prohibition was December 5th, was repealed, 1933. And we've got a little Prohibition party to attend.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of nice. Immaculate Conception, Prohibition repeal.
Mm-hmm.
These are all wonderful, world-changing
December
things.
December has a lot of feast days. Next week, you got Our Lady Guadalupe.
Yeah.
And other feasts this month as well.
Yeah.
So
go raise a glass to the repeal of Prohibition.
You can tell us how you are preparing for the Lord and what hopes you have by emailing us at churchdrunk@gmail.com.
Yeah. You can tweet, or if you have a favorite cocktail, tweet it to me.
Oh, yeah.
We'll drink it and then tell people how to make it.
Yeah, we're going to bring you some cocktail recipes this Advent. You can look forward to that. Yeah.
So I'm at Church Drunk Pod. Yeah. We're looking forward to the next 3 weeks of Advent and then Christmas time.
I really do love Advent.
It's a good season.
All right. So wishing you all a hopeful but not syrupy first week of Advent.
And we will see you guys next week here on Church Drunk, where hope floats.
In a beer mug.
Or a brandy snifter.
Or your wine glass.
Or one of those fancy little champagne glasses that's got the wide top.
Yeah.
The old-timey ones.
Pretty much any bottle.